You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. All right, so we're still here, stuck in it, stuck in the middle of winter. Another storm approaching, hopefully, to stay away from us here in southeast Michigan. Kind of hard to think about putting on flip-flops, sunglasses, and heading out for fresh summer veggies from the farmer's market. But it does seem more and more people are going to farmers markets in Michigan throughout the year, and they're paying for their purchases with bridge cards. Numbers are out from last year, and they show the use of bridge cards at farmers markets around the state jumped by 42% in 2012. Joining us now is Amanda Shreve. She's with the Michigan Farmers Market Association. Welcome to Stateside, Amanda.
Thanks for having me.
So, Amanda, tell us, why do you think there's been an increase over, say, in 2012? When we see 42%, that's a pretty hefty jump.
I think there's several contributing factors. One is that there is a greater demand for locally produced foods and knowing where your food comes from. So even when you're shopping on a limited budget, it's still important to many individuals that they know who and how their food is produced. Also, there's a greater number of farmers markets across the state that are accepting these benefits. I also think that the Double Up Food Bucks program has a great impact on the amount of bridge card sales that take place at farmers markets.
Now, what is that program?
Double Up Food Bucks is a program facilitated by Fair Food Network. They're a nonprofit out of Ann Arbor, and that program matches bridge card sales at farmers markets up to $20 per market day. And the money that is received as a match can be used to purchase fresh Michigan-grown fruits and vegetables. So really, it's doubling the value of SNAP benefits at farmers markets.
Now, you had mentioned the number of farmers markets in Michigan accepting federal food assistance payments is growing. I saw one figure that said it's 103 at this point, which was noted as the highest in the Midwest, and that's good. But how many markets are there? So how many more need to kind of get on board with accepting bridge cards?
We estimate that there are approximately 300 farmers markets in the state of Michigan, or that there was in 2012. We have a goal in our association and through the Food Assistance Partnership to have 50% of Michigan farmers markets accepting benefits by the end of this year.
So, Amanda, what does the fact that we are seeing more and more bridge card clients using their cards to buy fresh food at farmers markets, what does that say to us, and what are your hopes for the future?
I hope it says that bridge card clients are dedicated to feeding their family healthy, nutritious foods, and that they recognize that farmers markets are a great place to access those healthy foods. So ultimately, we're hoping that accessing healthy fruits and vegetables can impact the health and nutrition of children and families all across Michigan, help reduce the rate of obesity, and just improve health and wellness in general.
Amanda, thanks for talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Amanda Shreve is the Food Assistance Partnership Coordinator with the Michigan Farmers Market Association. You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. All right, so we're still here, stuck in it, stuck in the middle of winter. Another storm approaching, hopefully, to stay away from us here in southeast Michigan. Kind of hard to think about putting on flip-flops, sunglasses, and heading out for fresh summer veggies from the farmer's market. But it does seem more and more people are going to farmers markets in Michigan throughout the year, and they're paying for their purchases with bridge cards. Numbers are out from last year, and they show the use of bridge cards at farmers markets around the state jumped by 42% in 2012. Joining us now is Amanda Shreve. She's with the Michigan Farmers Market Association. Welcome to Stateside, Amanda.
Thanks for having me.
So, Amanda, tell us, why do you think there's been an increase over, say, in 2012? When we see 42%, that's a pretty hefty jump.
I think there's several contributing factors. One is that there is a greater demand for locally produced foods and knowing where your food comes from. So even when you're shopping on a limited budget, it's still important to many individuals that they know who and how their food is produced. Also, there's a greater number of farmers markets across the state that are accepting these benefits. I also think that the Double Up Food Bucks program has a great impact on the amount of bridge card sales that take place at farmers markets.
Now, what is that program?
Double Up Food Bucks is a program facilitated by Fair Food Network. They're a nonprofit out of Ann Arbor, and that program matches bridge card sales at farmers markets up to $20 per market day. And the money that is received as a match can be used to purchase fresh Michigan-grown fruits and vegetables. So So really, it's doubling the value of SNAP benefits at farmers markets.
Now, you had mentioned the number of farmers markets in Michigan accepting federal food assistance payments is growing. I saw one figure that said it's 103 at this point, which was noted as the highest in the Midwest, and that's good. But how many markets are there? So how many more need to kind of get on board with accepting bridge cards?
We estimate that there are approximately 300 farmers markets in the state of Michigan, or that there was in 2012. We have a goal in our association and through the Food Assistance Partnership to have 50% of Michigan farmers markets accepting benefits by the end of this year.
So, Amanda, what does the fact that we are seeing more and more bridge card clients using their cards to buy fresh food at farmers markets, what does that say to us, and what are your hopes for the future?
I hope it says that bridge card clients are dedicated to feeding their family healthy, nutritious foods, and that they recognize that farmers markets are a great place to access those healthy foods. So ultimately, we're hoping that accessing healthy fruits and vegetables can impact the health and nutrition of children and families all across Michigan, help reduce the rate of obesity, and just improve health and wellness in general.
Amanda, thanks for talking with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Amanda Shreve is the Food Assistance Partnership Coordinator with the Michigan Farmers Market Association. This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. We're turning now to a singer-songwriter who brings an unusual perspective to the songs and the lyrics that he writes.
Extend the area of freedom from sea to boiling sea to oblivion. Chicago boys heaving the brick through Lamanada. Jubilantly skipping down the new Silk Road, the new Silk Road.
Khalid Hanifi is based in Ann Arbor, but as the son of an Afghan man who came from Kabul to the United States in 1956, Khalid has a foot in both worlds, the United States and the Afghan world, and that informs his writing from songs to his blog on the Huffington Post. His latest CD is called A Brief Respite from Shooting Fish in a Barrel, and Khalid joins us in the studio today. Welcome. Good to have you with us.
Good to be here.
You have a really interesting family background. So dad comes from Afghanistan?
Yep, and my mom grew up here in Michigan.
From Scottish ancestry.
Yep.
Now, there's an interesting mix, I have to tell you. What side did you identify most with as you grew up?
Well, inevitably, my mom's side, because that's who I grew up with. I didn't see my dad very often. So, I grew up with my two sisters. Mm-hmm. And, we sort of created it as we went along.
So it wasn't like you grew up with a strong sense of Afghan culture.
Not at all.
Not at all. So when did you discover that? When did it begin to? Obviously, you bore the name, and you had to spend a lot of your life saying, "No, I'm not Colin." Did that contribute to feeling somewhat like not quite in step with everybody else?
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. I mean, I look like most WASPs, mm-hmm. but I'm not, and I really wasn't interested in that fact until. In the last few years when I reconnected with my dad and my kids have grown up more or less. My daughter's still 15. But she doesn't really want to have too much to do with me these days.
And, don't feel bad.
So I have a lot of time to, read and think and work on music.
And music became important to you when?
Oh, from an early, early age. I mean, the first joyous memories that I can think of are, listening to songs on CKLW.
So who influenced you growing up?
Oh, besides the Beatles, the obvious, that's pretty obvious.
Yeah.
But, anything I heard on CKLW, I loved Motown. I loved, there was a song called The River is Wide. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who did it. But when I heard that song, it was like 1967. And it was just, you know, it sent a chill down my spine. If I listen to it today, I think I have listened to it, and it doesn't quite give me the same chill. But for whatever reason, it really really spoke to me.
Now, you have kind of traveled an interesting road in your music making. You've done that member of a group signed to the major label scene. You were with Atlantic Records at one point. Tell us about that.
Well, you know, we had worked for, you know, about 4, 5, 6 years, my sister and I, Sophia, you know, sort of doing what we could to move our band beyond Ann Arbor. Mm-hmm. And
how did that work out?
You know, I learned a lot of things that I didn't retain for a little while.
You know, such as?
Well, you know, I just did not know how to do business with people or to, you know, because I was young and egocentric.
And you want to make music.
And, yeah, I mean, I really thought that we were whatever illusory thing I thought we were and that other people should think that that was important. And, in fact, that's not what happened. People didn't think it was terribly important.
And the business side seems to trump that music side.
Right. And when I'm dealing with people in business in those days, I had that presumption in my head. And, you know, clearly that wasn't shared across the board the way I assumed it might be. And
so into the indie route you've gone.
Well, inevitably, because I just had to do it myself, you know, or with – I actually have had a couple of bands, and, those have been good experiences, but
How would you characterize the music that you make that is from your heart? How would you characterize that to someone who is a first-time listener?
God, that's an impossible question. Mm-hmm. I have no idea. I just write songs. That's all I know. You know, I write songs that entertain me. So that's...
put them out there, right?
Yeah.
Your songs are really easy to listen to. I have to say that. If you have not heard Khalid Hanifi's music... easy to listen to. Your voice is very, very easy on the ear, but your lyrics can pack some real sting. Let's take a listen to part of a song called Whose Idea Was That?
Work and work for less and less by habit of happiness. Make your point then digress. Whose idea was that?
Okay, now, those are not the words of someone who thinks that the status quo is fine. How much do you find yourself in your music challenging and questioning the 2013 Western way of working and living?
Oh, God, all the time. I mean, that's sort of what drives me, I guess. Despite our apparent affluence, and certainly in Ann Arbor, it's we don't get a real... broad view of things. I mean, it's very nice here. We're very, very fortunate. And I see problems everywhere. That's how I look at the world, I guess.
Sure. So what problems do you really want to take on in your songs?
Ignorance, apathy, stupidity, those things. Those are all characteristics I share. So I'm fascinated with how those things appear in other people as well as myself.
Well, in a sense, I hear echoes of the kinds of songs that the umbrella term were the protest songs, but the songs of the 60s, you had your Simon and Garfunkels, and you had people that served up beautiful melodies and beautiful songs and really were making very pointed commentaries and kind of, you know, calling out society for things that they saw. So
right.
Do you feel that kind of a...
That's an interesting question, because I like a song like Free the World to Death, which is very explicit, I think, in its irony.
Mm-hmm.
But there it is. It's irony. It's not, we can save the world, because I feel like we've been through that. And in fact, you know, the way I see it now, the people that descended from that way of thinking or that advanced from that way of thinking are people that are controlling the world today. And I don't think we're any better off. In fact, I think we're worse off.
Hey, come a-loping up the dusty road with a six gun in his hand and the certainty of the whitest night ever to cover to search the wide world, from Carson City to Kandahar. And I don't know what you call yourselves, and I don't care who you are. There's gold in them.
And I'm going to talk now about that song, Free the World to Death. You've written about that song and your relationship with your father in your blog on the Huffington Post, a very complicated relationship. Talk to us about how that song brought the two of you closer. First, tell us about the song. What are you saying in the song?
Simply put, it's the image of tumbleweeds rolling through Kabul was, I had that image, and that was it. The lyric was done within, a couple of hours. And I put it to some music that I had already had laying around, and that was that. I mean, in terms of creating that song.
Mm-hmm. Almost difficult. Like the Wild West.
Yeah,
in
right.
Afghanistan.
Exactly.
Yes,
right,
yes.
Right.
Then talk to us about how this kind of helped you maybe develop some ties and make a bridge with your dad.
Well, it happened, at about the same time that we reconnected, and I just showed it to him, and, he loved it, which doesn't surprise me. Somebody else suggested I try doing it in Pashto, which I hadn't thought about when I wrote it, and it seemed like an interesting thing to do, if not a wise thing to do, and so I asked him if he would help me translate it, and it was a nice project to work on,
How are things with Dad today?
They're fine. They're fine. We don't see each other that mm-hmm. often, and it's good.
But there aren't many singer-songwriters from Michigan that can say that they have a song in Pashto that anyone in Afghanistan
in fact,
would understand.
One of the things that we were, thinking about when we, were initially talking about the press release is that it's really probably the first song to ever be released both in English and Pashto at the same time. Which, for whatever that is worth.
Democracy, democracy. Yao San Patolo, Bada Bada Da. Tazim, Ao Sajda, Wukray. Date, Rahai, Dezach, Migud. Kple, Chomuke, Huale, Sara. Didagungs.
If you're just joining us, we are talking with Ann Arbor-based singer-songwriter Khalid Hanifi, who has a CD out that has got, I think, one of the coolest titles I've ever heard, A Brief Respite from Shooting Fish in a Barrel. Now, I'm wondering, as the son of a man who have emigrated from Afghanistan to America, have you ever visited Afghanistan? Are you...
Nope.
Never. Any desire?
Oh, I'd love to now, sort of, if I didn't fear for my life going there. I would love to go there, sure.
Your hope for Afghanistan?
Boy, it's just ruined. I mean, it's been ruined. I mean, not that it was anything. It's just been... It's hard to talk about because it's just ugly, the whole thing.
What kind of misconceptions do you think that most Americans have about Afghanistan and about Afghan people?
Well, I think it extends to how most Americans think about most Middle Eastern people / Islamic people. Mm. And it's no secret that the word terrorist does no longer really means terrorism. It means violence committed by one type of person. Terrorism, if it extends from United States foreign policy, it isn't called terrorism. That's not surprising, I guess.
You have a song on your new CD, and it's called "The Way Business Gets Done." And the line is, war is still the way that business gets done, and business has never been better.
War is still the way that business gets done in the world. And business is very
What do you want people to understand? What kind of action are you calling for in this song?
Well, that's a good question. I wrote that. There's a guy named Tim Spicer who runs Aegis Defense Services, and he has the contract for basically defending other contractors in Afghanistan. He's a British guy, and he's a mercenary. I mean, that's the word we used to use for contractors, and it had a different color of meaning. And that line is a quote from his book. He wrote a book in 1999, and that's a direct quote from his book. So I don't know. He said it.
That's interesting.
I didn't say it. Well, he didn't say it's never been better. I think I added that.
Kind of. Looking back.
Right.
Singer-songwriter Khalid Hanifi, his newest CD is A Brief Respite from Shooting Fish in a Barrel. You can find out more about Khalid's music at his website. We've made a link to that website on ours at michiganradio.org. Thanks for sharing your songs and your insights with us, Khalid.
Thank you.